podcast time on XFM. Just £300 for all of them. Send all cash in unmarked bills and put for attention of Dyson. Breakfast XFM. It's Danny. With specs on XFM.
It's Danny.
It's breakfast XFM.
It's Danny.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
Hello and welcome to podcast 74 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. You should be with your listening partner. You should have your listener pads out. Your listener exams are coming up shortly. Remember as well, if you're not wearing your listener uniforms, when you are wearing those uniforms, you're very much an ambassador for the show. Doesn't matter if you're not technically listening at the time. Doesn't matter if the show's not on. You still represent us. Do behave. Matt, any other advice for the listener?
Yes, always wash your hands.
Always wash your hands. Jake Gyllenhaal's on today's important podcast. We talk about producer Dave making his West End debut. Mythical beasts are covered in detail. Did you see Tony and Matt Hogwarts?
He always gets me with that.
Dive in!
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace!
Look who's come crawling back. So, you're back then, yeah? What, has it got too cold outside for you? You need somewhere to go? Is that what's happened?
No.
It is.
Just back. I've just had my 3 days of annual leave and now I return.
You make it sound like you only have 3 days a year off.
No.
Just have like 3 days of annual leave.
Using them up.
You're using them up. Good. And how did you enjoy them? What did you get up to? What
changed? It was a mixed bag because Katie went back to work, you see.
Yeah.
So I was taking Bess into nursery for the first time, our baby daughter.
What on earth do they make of you there?
they loved. She loves it there. She didn't cry once. She
really?
Like, yeah, just getting on with it. It wasn't. She only cried when I went to pick her up.
No. So you're just a man picking up a child that probably the nursery people have never seen before, and the child bursts into tears.
Yeah. No, because I dropped her off. It was all right. It was all above board. I've been like Mr. Mom for 3 days.
Really? You've been like kindergarten Matt?
Yeah, and it's good to be back at work.
Is it?
they've both had coughs. My house has been a hellhole of cold.
Wow.
And I think I'm getting another cold now.
Oh, no. Come on, for goodness sakes, Matt. What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
That's the thing. When you have a little kid, you just swap colds, don't you?
I know. Yeah.
Just swapping.
Exactly.
Well, we'll have to make you better through quality chit-chat and top tunes.
I'm sure that will improve my mood.
Yes, I'm sure it will. What did you get up to yesterday, Dave? It was the company Christmas party last night, wasn't it?
It was, and my word, is there gossip flying around this morning.
It's gossip left, right, and centre,
everybody. Left, right, and blooming centre.
Hither and thither, yeah. The gossip, isn't it? And it's only 11 minutes past six.
I know, yeah.
Tell us all the gossip.
I didn't go,
the gossip that's flying around the building.
Well, it's the gossip queen over there, Matt Dyson, that's been spreading most of it around.
I just think it's nice for the listeners to feel part of the internal mechanics.
Yeah, maybe it's a podcast thing.
No, it sounds like a broadcast on air live thing.
I don't think it is.
Who are you talking about specifically, and what did they do?
I don't know.
You were just saying about it before.
It was interesting, because as I turned...
Why don't you want the listeners in?
Yeah, what's their name? Come on, what's their name again?
I don't know.
Why don't you want the listeners to be part of your life?
No. I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. So
seems like you do. Seems like you know everything that's going on.
Yeah.
So who did what with who and where?
Just a couple of bad glasses of wine got swapped around.
Why wouldn't Global Radio pay for some quality wines?
I hear work experience Steve had a bad glass of wine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, man.
And he should be in the next half hour or so.
Should be. That's the phrase. Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see whether that happens. I heard a newsreader slept in one of the little rooms.
Yeah, really?
Just down the corridor overnight.
Yeah.
Was it you, Matt?
It wasn't me. I didn't go.
We don't see you for 3 days and you're suddenly here on time. It's like where you've been sleeping. Well, we'll keep you abreast of all the office gossip. Hopefully, we'll see what happened with work experience Steve last night at the company party. It'll be one of the first sort of insights into people's Christmas parties that I think we'll have.
Yeah.
We are
XFM.
Dave Masterman, producer of the XFM Breakfast Show. How do you feel?
I feel good.
Why do you feel so good?
Well, I feel like I'm walking on air today.
Why are you walking on air today?
Because I had a wonderful evening where I made
What happened in the evening last night?
I made my theatrical debut.
What happened when you did that?
Well, I went down to the Playhouse Theatre. Yeah.
How'd you get there?
I got the tube.
tube, yeah.
Yeah, got off the wrong
card.
Tube, actually.
You got an Oyster card?
Yeah, I got an Oyster card,
Is it direct debit, or is it do you buy it at the station?
No, it comes straight out of my bank account.
How long you had that bank account?
It makes for an easier journey.
How long you had that?
Since I was about 14 or 14? 15, I think.
What drew you to that bank in particular?
I think I got a free chomp.
Chomp bar, with it? Sort of 10p, something like that. Anyway, you've got us way off subject. What happened last night?
I made my theatrical debut.
Just stick to the story.
Yeah, sorry.
So we commissioned this important documentary about Dave's theatrical debut.
It's Monday evening in the West End of London, and Dave Masterman is nervous.
Just about to make my theatrical debut in Spamalot. I'm a little bit nervous, I'm not going to lie. This is the first time I've done something like this. I mean, I'm a big, big fan of Monty Python. I love his work. I think he's great. So when I got the call to be a part of one of his productions, I couldn't say no, really. But don't want to mess it up. But I'm going to give it my best shot. Here goes.
Dave may be optimistic, but longtime friend and confidant, work experience Steve, is more apprehensive.
Just popped outside. He just looks absolutely ridiculous. I don't think it's going to go well at all.
Dave meets with self-proclaimed star of the show, Stephen Tomkinson, who has some gentle words of encouragement for him.
Take it seriously.
Yep.
I mean, it's going to be a packed show out there. People have paid a lot of money. The weight of the pressure is absolutely enormous, so don't mess it up. Don't take it lightly.
Okay.
A lot of people are paid just to see me. So, and I want you to enjoy it, obviously, but it's deadly serious.
All right.
Rehearsals take place soon after, and this is Dave's first chance to demonstrate how he intends to deliver his only line in the show.
Sorry! Go.
It goes well.
My God!
But how will Dave do in front of a paying theatre audience?
And an aptly named sir not appearing in this show.
Sorry!
It could not have gone better. Or worse. Because inside, Stephen Tomkinson has a different point of view.
Yeah, you can just put me through to John. Listen, John. About the guy who came on and did the Sir Not Appearing, Dave. Yeah. No, lovely boy. But he actually went down a little bit too well, you know. Spontaneous round of applause. He got more attention than I did. Just if the name comes up again, just say, we're booked. We're absolutely booked. We're getting the crankies in. We're getting, you know, anyone. Just anyone but him.
But what's the next stage for theatre darling Dave Masterman?
Well, I think the next stage for me is to possibly get an agent. I've already put the feelers out for Max Clifford as well to deal with my publicity off the back of tonight's performance. Security might be an issue for me for the next couple of days just as the pandemonium dies down. But really enjoyed it. Looking forward to going onwards and upwards from here.
And so the West End has done it again. A mere child, no bigger than a thumb, strode like a colossus on the London stage. Dave Masterman, a star is born.
Sir Not Appearing was just, it was amazing. I'll definitely remember this till the day I die. Wow, just wow.
I was just really emotional by the performance, really moved. I thought it was quite special.
Sir Not Appearing was outstanding, the best bit by far.
I truly can't believe what I've just seen.
We are XFM.
So a teenage girl, right, Matt, has been arrested after she made a YouTube video bragging that she'd robbed a bank, right? She's 19 and she holds up handfuls of banknotes in the video which she entitled Chick Bank Robber. She's also seen holding up handwritten signs in which she says she's having the best day of her life, right? And she tells viewers that she's stolen a Pontiac Grand Am and more than $6,000 when she robbed a bank so that she could go on a shopping spree.
What?
And she's been arrested because someone did steal a nearby car and robbed a bank.
How refreshingly honest.
How refreshingly honest. Yeah. It's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah.
What a heartwarming Christmas tale.
XFM. We are XFM.
So too much exercise may be bad for you. I love it when they say things like that. It's too much anything is, you know, going to be bad for you. That's why it's too much. Anyway, it says, too much exercise may be bad for you and even shorten your life. Heart doctors warned last night. They rejected the belief that tough regimes like marathons, Dave, are beneficial and recommended no more than 50 minutes of rigorous activity a day. Okay, fine. At last, a regime I can really get behind. Now, the report from the Mid-America Heart Institute in Kansas City warned the following. And remember, all these, like, doctors' reports and scientific reports, are quite dry, aren't they? Quite sort of badly written or not exciting. Listen to this. A moderate physical routine will add life to your years, as well as years to your life. Whoa. But running too far, too fast, and for too many years may speed your progress towards life's finishing line.
Oh, that's a lovely image.
Isn't there writing? What's, not, what? What's a lovely image?
Just the way it's
speeding
written.
To your death.
Yeah.
That's a lovely image to you.
They've written
speeding
it.
Your progress towards life's finishing line.
It's just flowery language really gets me.
You're welling up. It's lovely. It's like a Hallmark card. I can get behind that. Flowery language. That's interesting, isn't it? Because I mentioned earlier that Lindsay Lohan... Lindsay Lohan, who, like I say, is very keen to adopt at the moment, was led out of a nightclub in handcuffs, accused of repeatedly punching a woman in the head because she was talking to Max out of The Wanted. Yeah. Now, whenever I see someone talking to Max out of The Wanted, that's my instinct as well. And the police, the police report described Lindsay Lohan very politely. Now, she may or may not have, as we say, had a bad glass of wine. Who knows? It can happen. But the police report described her as being visibly tired. And I think that's just one of the most wonderful ways of describing that situation ever. I mean, Gerard Depardieu as well, he was arrested for driving his scooter around while also visibly tired. You know, he'd had a bad glass of wine, it seems. And then just last year, wasn't it, he was marched off a flight.
Yeah.
After he... urinated in the bottle.
Plastic bottle, yeah.
Just while sitting in his seat.
Yeah.
It's Gerard. He was visibly tired. That's the problem. He'd had a bad glass of wine.
Yeah,
and it got me thinking about these sort of... these euphemisms we have. Polite ones, though. You know, really polite ones. Ways your mum may describe, like, your uncle at the Christmas party.
Yeah.
And today is the last day of November. As of tomorrow, it's pretty much Christmas party season, isn't it? That's
party
what's
time.
Happening.
Yep.
Party time. So we're going to have to arm ourselves with various ways of politely describing colleagues and family members. Let's, for the purposes of this, let's imagine someone called Tony, right? Because I imagine people called Tony are often, and no offence if you are a Tony, of course, but I imagine people called Tony may get these quite a bit. So it'd be like, so Matt, you know, did you see Tony?
Yeah.
See Tony last night.
Yeah. What was he like?
He must have been suffering the effects of his medication.
Yes.
It's a way of saying it, isn't it? You know what I mean? Must have been suffering the side effects of his medication.
Tony was in convivial mood.
Oh, did you see Tony?
He was ever so
convivial.
Oh, guys, did you see Tony last night?
What was Tony doing?
Just the wrong side of wobbly.
He was just the wrong side of wobbly. Yeah. Oh. Hey, did you see Tony last night? I think he was just a bit full of liquid. I think he had a bit too much liquid in the blood, you know what I mean? That's Tony, isn't it, though? He's lovely.
Yeah, he's a bit, like, emotionally drained.
Yeah. Yes, been
friendly and forgetful.
Friendly and forgetful, was he?
Yeah.
Did you see Tony? Bit of a close talker last night. I'm mentioning no names there, Matt. you see Tony last night, Dave? His legs have gone all soupy.
Soupy legs
last night.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
good. He does seem to be, Tony does seem to be at peace with his inner demons, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
I can safely say that.
Yeah, he's at peace now, I think, with his inner demons. You know, did you see Tony last night? I think he was probably indulged as a child. I think. I'm quite pleased with that one.
That was very good.
See, Tony last night was certainly enjoying himself, wasn't he? So much to say. So much to say. So much to get off his chest last night. You see, Tony.
Tony was certainly committed to the fun last night, wasn't he?
Oh, he was. He made a real fun commitment.
Tony.
We are XFM.
Let's do Snow Patrol.
XFM.
It's a last minute thing. But I just on a whim just said, let us know if it's snowing where you are. You did that. You did that in your dozens. And I can tell you, Well, it's snowing in Notting Hill, everybody.
Snow Patrol.
Snowing in Hackney. It's from confirmed listener Peter. Snowing in Twickenham.
Citizens on patrol.
Raining in Norbury. That's not snow. But it is snowing in Vauxhall. Jack says, am I in a dream?
I've got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah. A foul lack of snow in Grimsby from Wes. He says he feels a little bit left out. But in Chelmsford, that's right, it's snowing.
Snow joke.
No, it's not. Steve Dooney's live today because it's a last minute idea.
I can tell.
Hey, it's snowing in Bovington. It has been for an hour, says Marchin. So do take care if you are going to the Tank Museum today.
Broken Britain.
Marie says snow in Chiswell Green. And someone else just says it is snowing on the M25. And guess what? They ain't salted the road. Every year they leave it till the last minute to do it. It's too late. This country's a joke.
Snow Patrol.
All right, we'll leave it on a bit of a downer there.
XFM.
Well, good morning. You're with the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace, and I'm not in the usual confines of the studio on Leicester Square. Instead, I'm slamming it somewhere in Mayfair at the very posh hotel. I won't reveal which one in case he stays here all the time. With the marvellous Jake Gyllenhaal. Hello, how are you?
Oh, so good. I'm so good. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me at my hotel.
Yes, exactly. I was going to say, this trip of yours has got very little to do with me, I'll be honest. I was in no way consulted. But welcome to London. Do you enjoy London?
I do very much, yeah.
Where do you normally, I won't say hang out in case people...
Where do you normally stay?
I won't be saying that. But we are in Mayfair, and I imagine you as quite a kind of Camden or Shoreditch kind of guy.
There you go, you got it.
Really?
Yeah, but when I work, I try and keep my work and my life separate.
Right, right.
I bring my work to Mayfair.
And your life to the hellholes of Camden.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly. End of Watch is what we're going to talk about. What a film. What a great film. It just seems like recently, all these brilliant films are, as far as I was aware, just kind of coming out of nowhere in recent months. I mean, Argo was a really surprising and brilliant film. This is just an extraordinary film. What drew you to it?
Well, for the screenplay, I mean, and I think primarily because it was a cop movie and it was a genre that I obviously had been done many, many times before, but there was a relationship between these two guys that was like a real friendship. You know, the dialogue that David Ayer, who wrote Training Day and, you know, a number of other police movies, you know, the dialogue felt like two friends and could be put in any context, and it didn't even necessarily have to be in a cop car. And it happened to be, but it was about the love these two guys had for each other. And to me, this beating heart in the middle of the script was the thing that made me want to do it. I look for that in everything that I do. This, it's not like about, you don't want to do something that's just an action movie or do something that's just a drama or something. You want to find the subtext, and the subtext is usually the best, is one with the big heart underneath it.
No, absolutely. And there's a lot of, you know, it seems like one of the first films really that I feel as a viewer, and I've got nothing to base this on really apart from watching movies, but it seems like quite a true experience of what it must be like to be cops. And part of that is obviously what we're discussing, you never know what's around the corner, but also it's the way it's been directed and the style of shooting, a lot of very personal, sort of very personal viewpoints.
It was written that way as well. I mean, that was the reason why Michael and I spent 5 months preparing for the movie, was because the first person point of view style, the way this movie is shot, where you really feel like, and I do most of the time hold the camera, we're living in a 360 degree world. We acted in it. We were actually in South Central. We actually got very close to believing we were actually police officers. And you know, there was a potential around every corner to not just deal with the scene that we were shooting or what was written in the script, but also to actually have interaction with people in the neighborhood.
And like you say, a lot of it you shot, and it's mm-hmm. all kind of there's like cameras that the cops wear, and there's mm-hmm. cameras in the car and all kind of things like that, so you get very used to seeing almost like a found footage kind of element to it. Mm-hmm. Apart from when you're making love to a woman, that's the one moment where I thought, who the hell's filming this? And why?
Why am I filming it in the movie?
No, you're not really, you know, but it is one of those moments where you just go,
I just want to, well, it was supposed to be not well done. Okay. I mean,
not the lovemaking.
They are police officers. No, the filmmaking. Yeah.
Well, it's great. I mean, it's tense. It's horrifying at times. It's scary. It's funny.
Your lovemaking?
My lovemaking, yes.
Oh, okay. I just
usually about this time of every interview, I try and sum up my technique. Things like that. I just thought I'd give that a go. Listen, just before I go...
Welcome to Mayfair.
just before I go, you're a big kind of fan of indie music, and you've been in a few videos, haven't you, of proper rock videos.
I'm a big fan of directors. Given the nature of my job, and I'm a big fan of Daniel Wolf, who directed this video that I did, and I've just been a massive fan of him and the videos that he shot. I just think he's really brilliant, and so he had asked me if I would be in this video, and I said of course, and then it happened to be with a great song too and a great band.
And which one was it, that one?
It's called Time to Dance.
Time to Dance.
Shoes, yeah.
Well, producer Dave thought you were just, rather than just a big fan of Daniel Wolf, a big indie music fan, this will now seem like a very hollow gesture and one which you will in no way appreciate.
So you were going to give me DVDs.
Well, we were going to give you DVDs.
Now you're giving me...
I'm kind of thinking, screw it now, I'll keep these. but you've probably got most of these already, but here are some XFM-style CDs.
Oh, that's so cool.
There's like a live Blur one in there. The Vaccines, are you aware of them? Yeah. Probably not.
Yeah.
Yep, sure. Terrible actor, isn't he? You know, winning no awards for this interview.
Wait, weren't they a nominee for the Brit Awards in 2012?
That is what the sticker on it says, yeah. Jake, it's been a massive pleasure. End of Watch is absolutely fantastic. Thanks so much for being on the XFM Breakfast
Show.
Thank you
so much, mate. Thanks.
We are XFM.
Matt, how have you fared the last few days? Taking your 3 days of annual leave, which is all you're allowed. Post-disciplinary as well. What a week. What a week. Just some time to consider your actions.
Formal chat, that's all it was.
How have you coped without the showbiz?
My life has been bereft. You know, I've missed out on quite a lot of important stories.
I know.
The big stories.
I know.
And, I've been like an empty vessel, really.
Let's fill that vessel right up with the good ship Showbiz.
All aboard. It's more for a train, isn't it?
Ahoy! Nicole Scherzinger. Nicole Scherzinger went to Asda in Swindon.
Oh, yes.
It's
good to be back.
That's amazing. She was flanked by hordes of female fans. Meanwhile, Rita Ora went to a Tesco Christmas party.
Ooh.
They're really, really, these female music icons, really spreading it around supermarket-wise. Yeah. Christian Backstreet Boy, Brian Littrell. Look, this is topically irrelevant. That's what this is. Christian Backstreet Boy, Brian Littrell.
This is a new addition to the showbiz update. No, I didn't before.
Has said he is not praying for Lindsay Lohan.
You are sh**.
I'm not. You'd think he would be, but he's not. She's not in my nightly prayers. Sorry, he says. Very Christian attitude.
Yeah,
he does not like that she's angered the IRS through tax debts. Yes. Ollie Mers was spotted in the first class carriage of a train watching his own videos all the way to London and singing along constantly.
Come off it.
I'm not. Spotted doing that.
Hasn't he recently put his plans to break America on hold?
He's put them on hold right now, his plans to crack America. Eminem's daughter is furious that Harry Styles is dating Taylor Swift. She tweeted some very, angry things to Taylor in quite a jealous way. Eminem must be so proud right now. A cool kid. Jay-Z rode the subway and struck up a conversation with an old lady and kept asking him what he did and who he was.
Am I in a dream?
You're not. And he said, oh, look, I'm not very famous. You don't know me, but I'll get there. I like that. Nice guy. Gavin Henson and Katie Price have got together. Imagine if they had a child, it would be the exact same colour as a Satsuma. The Sun have done their research on this story. Big story on page 3. And they want some expert quotes, but they can't have that because there's not really any experts in that world. So they've just quoted someone random on Twitter, just saying, Gavin Henson and Jordan, really? Now, note to journalists, that's not really a quote, is it? It's irrelevant. It's not research. They're not an expert. They're in no way connected. It's just someone. Why are you searching for tweets?
Yeah.
Huh? Liam from One Direction got into an argument at the Empire State Building and then used his Twitter. It's all Twitter, isn't it? He said, just been to the Empire State Building, had a great time, except the security detail in particular was arrogant, unprofessional, very disrespectful to my family, and he thought he got away with it. But obviously they search for their own things, don't they, these people at businesses? And they responded, bad behaviour is not accepted at the Empire State Building. No, our security does not know who you are and does not care.
Yes!
Oh! Boom! Bang! Gosh!
Wow, round of applause from Matt.
Yeah. Well, if you like that, Matt. Jamie Oliver's bought himself a Ford Capri.
Oh, about time. I thought he had a few already, I'd imagined.
Of the Ford Capris.
A Ford Capri, yeah.
I told you when I was a kid that I used to love Ford Capris. And every time I saw a Ford Capri, I developed this almost OCD-style thing where I had to blink at one. And that meant that when I grew up, I'd have a Ford Capri.
Oh.
It didn't work.
Didn't work.
Did not work. And finally, Alicia Dixon. This is just really weird, right? So a man was fined £500 after 1,000 revelers went to his Facebook-promoted bash. Right, so he just went on Facebook, I'm having a party. Yeah. 1,000 people turned up, including Alicia Dixon. But she didn't like it. And so she gave the 21st birthday party the thumbs down as it quickly spiralled out of control. Why is she turning up to people's birthday parties promoted on Facebook?
Party.
Just a house party.
I mean, Tesco's and Asda's pretty bad for a pop star, but someone's house.
Yeah, just someone's house. And Alicia Dixon turns up. So there's just a picture of her just smiling next to, well, looking very uncomfortable, actually, just next to a man. So, Matt, just give me your thoughts on those showbiz stories and tell me how full of showbiz you feel.
I've seen the showbiz stories, Danny, and I'm going to click like.
You're clicking like. Oh, he's clicking like, everybody. Well, there you go. That was it. Hopefully you can get to a water cooler now because you are now very much in the no biz.
Show me your business.
It's all free.
XFM.
Question for you is, did you see Tony? Did you see Tony?
Oh,
did you see Tony? That's what we're asking you. For your polite euphemisms for when someone, well, they may have overindulged ever so slightly. It's the last day of November, Christmas season coming up, there's going to be parties galore. You have to work out ways of very politely saying that someone like Tony, you know, was visibly tired or may have had a bad glass of wine, something like that. So, for example, Matt, tell me about Tony.
Oh, Tony, he's not afraid to be the centre of attention, is he?
No, not so, Tony.
Johnny and Ernie.
Tony. Did you see Tony last night, Matt?
Yeah.
He certainly knows how to quench a thirst, doesn't he?
He certainly does.
You see him? Yeah, Billericay Pete says, did you see Tony last night, guys? He was praying to the ceramic god at one point. And that was after he told me only I understood him and he loved me. That's Tony for you, though, isn't it? Very emotional. What else?
Yeah, he was a little bit past careful, wasn't he?
Was he? Who? What, Tony?
Dangerously refreshed last night.
Dangerously refreshed,
Tony. Crystal suggests.
Did you get a look at Tony last night? His spit blocks were certainly down, weren't they?
Classic Tony.
Classic Tony. Dave apparently came up with one by accident when we were talking about an actual friend of ours who is called Tony. Who isn't the subject of this, I must be clear. But Tony, he said, did you see Tony last night? Well, I don't think he'll be up yet, will he?
Oh, Tony.
What else?
Did you see Tony last night?
What? Go on.
His conversations were very deep, weren't they? Very, very deep.
Very deep.
Yes, Rich.
Absolutely. Denim Barking says, guys, you see Tony last night? He may have been lacking some blood in his alcohol stream.
Tony's such a lad.
He is, yeah. Wes in Grimsby says, I saw Tony last night. And if I'm honest, I think recent events have taken their toll on him.
Yes. Yeah.
He kept touching me.
Did he? All right. What else, Matt?
I reckon he had an interesting journey home.
Oh.
That's from an actual Tony Smith in Dartford.
He's heard that all his life.
Tony, how can I put this? He was certainly Lord of the Dance.
Was he? Hey, did you see Tony last night? Mark and Sunbury saw Tony, but says Tony's wagon was nowhere to be seen.
Oh, Tony.
Tony was particularly salubrious last night. Yes. Anonymous says, see Tony? He was battling gravity, wasn't he?
Very touchy-feely, wasn't he?
Very.
Oh, as Adin Basildon says, I think he was wearing his rubber band trousers, wasn't he?
What? What does that mean?
Rubber band trousers.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
They have to work on some level. Can't just be a string of words. Rubber band trousers. And then Helen from Bognor just says, let's assume for the purposes of this texter that Tony is a little overweight. Now, we didn't allow our daughter to say fat as it would be rude. She was about 5 at the time. And she would say, you know Tony, the one who likes to eat all of his dinner. That's brilliant. That's from a 5-year-old. Excellent work, everybody.
Tony.
Well, listen, Tony, if you're out there, then, you know, you'll be feeling dodgy this morning, I think.
We are XFM.
It's 7:08. Steve's still not here. Work experience. Steve's at the Christmas party last night. Dial him up, please.
He just hung up on you.
No! He hung up! Ring him back. Ring him back. Oh, the attitude of that child.
Yeah.
Barely 15 years old. And already...
Hello?
Steve?
Hello?
Steve?
Who's that?
It's a voice you hear every day, Steve.
All right, hello.
Where the hell are you, Steve?
I'm just at Trafalgar Square.
You're at Trafalgar Square. And where should you be?
In the studio.
Should be in the studio. What should you be doing in the studio?
Making coffee.
Oh, no. I was going to say, I was hoping you'd say, oh, you know, creating packages or doing something great. Instead, that's how you see yourself, Steve, is it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, Stephen, did you go to the Christmas party last night?
No. I was working late.
Did you go to the Christmas party last night?
Working late.
They had terrible wine.
Did you? Work experience, Steve, with us soon on XFM.
We are
It's gone crazy. You're with the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. And let's quickly, Dave, let's quickly do another... Are you ready?
No.
No, he's not ready. Fine. I'll look at the papers instead. You tell me when you're ready. Well, North Korea's official state news agency, this is the big news, ladies and gents, this morning. This is what you need to know. North Korea's official state news agency is reporting that archaeologists have found a unicorn's lair. They found a unicorn's lair, Dave.
No.
Not my words, the words of the North Korean official state news agency. Now, the unicorn, this is all true, by the way. Well, I mean, I don't know if it's actually true, but, you know, the story... Well, how to say this?
No.
The story is real, but who knows whether the unicorn's lair is...
Yeah, I doubt it's...
Oh, you're a big unicorn expert, are you now? Oh, you're casting doubt on the North Korean official state news agency, Dave. What exactly are your news qualifications?
Well, I don't think you need them in this... This is one occasion where
In the news game.
In the unicorn news game.
Oh, really?
I don't think you need facts and
very
figures.
Very confident.
Yeah, just give me some proof.
They said that about the Sphinx, didn't they? Now you can't move for Sphinxes. Anyway, the unicorn in question. It's a sentence I never thought I'd say.
Yeah.
The unicorn in question was said to have been sort of banished by the ancient Korean king Tongmyong, founder of a kingdom which ruled parts of China and the Korean peninsula. You should all be now looking at your atlases. Normally, the Korean Central News Agency specializes in reports on the totalitarian state's unparalleled achievements and love for its leaders. Where'd they get that idea? XFM Breakfast Show, yeah, I think. Exactly. But it now claims that archaeologists in Pyongyang have recently reconfirmed a unicorn's lair. Now, it's about 200 metres from a temple in the North Korean capital, and it's a rectangular rock carved with the words unicorn lair. Because, of course, that's what unicorns...
That
I suppose they'd use
it,
their horn, wouldn't they? Just to sort of chip away at the rock, just so everyone knows, dude, this is mine.
This is mine.
This is my crib. Yeah, this is where I rock out. So it's a rectangular rock carved with the words unicorn lair.
Right.
And these are believed to date back to around the 900s. And lots of archaeologists are very much on board. I suppose it's a way of making North Korea stand out even more, isn't it? Go and check it out. We've got a unicorn.
Yeah.
We've got, you know, we're reinventing history here. We've got these unicorns and we're proud of them. So my question to you this morning, 83936, is what mythical beasts have you seen lately? What mythical beasts have you seen lately? I don't know. I don't know what you get up to in your life. Maybe you saw a griffin in Lidl, you know? Yeah. Who's squabbling with a dragon. Maybe there's a centaur down your road kissing a mermaid. I don't know. I don't know what you've seen. Maybe your tax officer is like a Pegasus. One of those flying horses, you know? Maybe you recently got off with a Sphinx. Let me know. 83936. Because I feel this morning we should support the North Koreans in this endeavour. I ordinarily, no. You know, I'm against the totalitarian regime. I'm against kind of a lot of what they stand for. But when it comes to mythical beasts...
They're onto something.
They're onto something. Yeah. Let's get behind them. 83936. What beasts have you seen? Are we going to do a snow patrol now?
Yeah, all right,
then. Let's go to snow patrol. Billericay, it's snowing. Snowing in New Malden, Kingston upon Thames.
Snow patrol.
The Vauxhall snow update. Snow is now rain. The dream was all a lie. It was a sick nightmare the whole time, says Jack.
Citizens on patrol.
Natalie says it's snowing in Putney. Fran. Go on.
I've got a bad feeling about this.
Well, don't worry, because Fran... And Southend in the snow says Go Winter, doing a much better job than summer since 1957.
Broken
snowing
Britain.
In Barnet and Dagenham. Snowy but not settling in Islington. It's a wintry wonderland in beautiful King's Langley. Oxford as well. Balham. It's not snowing where Hackney, Lucy in Hackney is. She says it is rain now. Accuracy is important. Luton, though, there's snow. Lee-on-Sea, there's snow. It's snowing in Southend-on-Sea, Feltham, Windsor, Clapham, Muswell Hill. And I'll tell you what. It's snowing right now in Leicester Square. Oh, it's
snow
a Christmassy feeling this morning. Cut that. What mythical beasts have you seen lately? 83936. Remember, one thought, one link. We are... Oh, man, that was great. Just told the best joke ever. I've been waiting ages and ages, like years, to be able to use a punchline for a joke in that there's never been the correct context.
Yeah.
And then Dave, just out of nowhere, noticing that he had a banana and Steve had a banana as well, said, oh, we should have a banana fight. At which point I said, and prepare yourself for this, you know what you should wear? Banana armour. It was the greatest moment of all our lives. I don't think I'm overstating that.
No.
And Dave nearly choked on his muesli, and Steve was wanting to high-five me. It was extraordinary.
I did not see that coming.
I had the punchline years before the context could even have been... It was great.
Yeah.
Well, I had for 10 years, I had a punchline, and then recently you all went... someone went, oh, I didn't mean to throw that pen at you, and the top had come off, and I went, that's enough of your pen-top aggression. Yeah. 10 years I had that. 10 years I was sitting on that.
XFM. We are XFM.
Let's talk to Chris in Dartford. Chris, are you there?
Yep, I'm here, thank you.
Have you spotted any mythical beasts this morning, Chris?
I've been driving through Bermondsey, so I've seen quite a few,
There you go. And has it been snowing where you are, Christopher?
It has, yes.
It has. So that's
run
good.
For it.
Run for it, exactly. hey, Chris, you got through. We're going to play Quiz Face. Do you know the rules?
Yep, I'll write them all down on my listener pad.
Please, you should know the rules by now, of course. As I say, there was medication involved yesterday after an emergency dental treatment. But if you're ready, let's get quizzical.
Quiz Face.
So, Christopher, if you'll just allow me a moment, we should probably just start off with an apology about last week's quite controversial Quiz Face, American Quico. On reflection and in consultation with Ofcom, we now accept that a light-hearted quiz format based on the atrocities of Patrick Bateman, star of the Bret Easton Ellis novel of nearly the same name, was not appropriate for breakfast broadcasting, even though it was technically literature. We are pleased to work in conjunction with Ofcom towards more appropriate content for you and your children to enjoy in a safe and trusted environment without the burden of literary references. We're happy to work with Ofcom, which isn't even a proper acronym, is it, Chris? Ofcom. It's just a short... Anyway, we fully accept. If you're going to have one F in Ofcom, you should have two, shouldn't you? Because technically that's Ofcom, Dave, isn't it?
It's Danny.
WebBiz, Ofcom, it's not Ofcom, they're pronouncing it Ofcom, and yet they're saying what books we can base things on. They can't even say their own name, Dave.
Danny, you need to calm
Ofcom.
Down.
Ofcom. Oh, hello. Oh, you've piped up, haven't you? What are you, off Dave? Is that it? You're off Dave now. Oh, look at me, I'm two slices of Dave bread. Spread some Ofcom on me and lie between us. I'll be an Ofcom sandwich.
Danny, just do the quiz we bought in.
Chris doesn't want me to do the quiz we bought in. I spent ages preparing Quambo for this week.
Quambo.
That's what we thought we were
gonna... not doing Quambo.
Well, why did you press the button for the jingle then? And that's your voice saying Quambo.
It's just like, do the things we said we'd do.
It's mixed messages. Anyway, so over the weekend, Chris, I attended Kvatchfest 12, the annual television production festival held just outside Parkstad, Limburg, for the low-lying countries of the Netherlands regions. And I bought a children's television format, Chris, called Tinglebinks.
Tinglebinks.
So, Chris, you should know the rules of Tinglebinks by now. You're Gillian Fip the Fumblebunker from the land of the Naughty Buck.
Dingledoo!
And you're chief of the Tinglebinks. So, as usual, Chris, Dingledoo.
Ding, dingle, ding.
Yep. Tinglebinks to you.
Tinglebinks to you, too.
Right, let's crack on. Rosemary the Horse isn't sharing his trinkets with the Wimple King.
Oh, no.
Tinglebinks!
So, Chris, what are you going to share? Your sugar? Or your wisdom?
I'm going to share my wisdom.
Share your wisdom.
Tinglebinks.
Well done, Chris. We've all learnt a lesson there, haven't we? And that's it. That's the whole format. That's it. I paid €50 for that. Cut the music, Dave. I paid €50 for Tinglebinks. Just goes to show, isn't it? And it's all done in one question. One question. That's the format for Tinglebinks. It was Rosemary the Man Horse. The sugar is wisdom. Quambo lasted 40 minutes.
We're not doing Quambo.
You know, Rambo spawned 9 books. That's literature. And yet, according to Ofcom, it's not up there with Kaftan. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not Jane Austrian. Let's just do Quambo.
Quambo.
Chris, you have a gun in your hand and you're not afraid to use it. But your bullets are your words. So, Chris, complete the sentence. We are...
XFM.
Tinklebinks, I'm Rosemary, the man horse.
He did it! Oh! That was classic Quambo.
Oh, wow.
Classic Quambo, Chris. Talk me through your feelings.
Well, I just shot off them words with rapid fire.
Excellent! You were actually John Quambo there as well. I wasn't expecting that.
XFM.
I took my infant son to meet Santa for the first time.
Oh, yes.
They got on like a house on fire.
Really?
My little son is so friendly and he's just kind of just was very open to it. So, of course, Santa was just there in York Hall, you know, like a boxing hall in the East End of London. So I had to walk into this old boxing place and to meet Santa tucked behind the corner. The Santa was great. He was really good. He'd been doing his research. He'd trained himself up. And then he gave my infant son a little present, which was wonderful. He was over the moon. And we're walking away and he's going, I'm going to take this home and open it. And then he decided he actually just really wanted to open it.
Yeah.
And he's only 3, my little boy. And he opened up this present. And I would say it was an age-inappropriate gift. Not in any kind of weird way, but it was like an old set of noughts and crosses. Which is great. It's very difficult to explain the rules of noughts and crosses to a 3-year-old. You know what I mean? So he just looked at it and you could see the disappointment on his face. Oh. But he wanted to keep it because he got it from Santa. About 2 hours later, he'd stand up throwing it across the room, angry. That's what Santa did to my son. Then we went to watch the Christmas lights being switched on near where I live by, of course, and all the kids were very excited. They couldn't sleep. BBC political correspondent Nick Robinson. So we went there and my little Nick made a little speech and then switched the lights on. There are only like 5 or 6 lights that came on. Right. But what a wonderful sense of community. The whole kind of community from around where I live all came out to watch BBC political correspondent Nick Robertson switch on 5 lights.
Yeah.
And it was a properly like lovely little moment. It was a nice thing to do.
But the kids were beside themselves.
I thought they'd missed a trick. If you're going to get a political correspondent and you want to excite the kids, get Gary Gibbon.
Yeah.
Because at least on, you know, on posters and stuff, he might be an animated character, you know? I tell people often that his middle name is The, just so that they watch Channel 4 and they see, you know, a man called Gary the Gibbon. That would be much better.
We are... X
XFM.
I've asked you two things. Is it snowing where you are for Snow Patrol? And have you seen any mythical beasts lately? So let's let's see how you responded.
XFM.
Dave, let's do Snow Patrol. What's going on and where?
Snowing at the Ted Danson Interchange, Billy
snowing
and Battersea.
At the Ted Danson Interchange. Meanwhile, one of our listeners says they car share with the Jabberwocky. Also, the Cookie Monster chased someone else home last night. Andrew from Orpington says, I just saw a lemming dancing around and trying to catch snowflakes on its tongue. It was beautiful. The lemmings are actually real, aren't they? They're not mythical. I think I've just blown Andrew's mind.
Yeah.
Snow Patrol, Dave, Snow Patrol.
Teacher Charlie says, it's proper snowing in Grays in Essex. Big fluffy chunks.
That's happening. Lisa in Chingford says, a Yeti's just submerged from the snow in my garden. See, she's knitting the two textures together.
Yeah.
It looks friendly enough, but you know what Yetis are like. Another Yeti's just been spotted running alongside the road on the M4. Yeah way, says Anonymous. Shame my apprentice was asleep, so I'm afraid you only have my word for it. I'll accept that. Snow Patrol, Dave.
Yeah, Goshka says it's Brixton, it's snow, and there's a cyclist in T-shirt and shorts.
Good
one word, madness.
Lord, madness. Boring, says Charlie in Battersea. Why? Because she thought she just saw a centaur wearing a monocle and top hat. Turned out, though, just to be a regular centaur, she says again. That's boring. Adam and Chiswick. Hey, Danny, I used to know a fawn called Alan. He lived in a maisonette in Lewisham. Not sure what's happened to him. Snow Patrol, Dave, what's happening?
Well, Alex has merged the two as well, very cleverly indeed.
Ooh.
It's snowing in Thames Ditton, has brought out the resident Yeti.
Oh.
And she or he has just helped him put on his little Yeti hat.
That's lovely, lots of Yetis coming out. The North Koreans were right, it seems. Yeah. Confirmed Mr. Fran says, I saw a fire-breathing dragon shopping for marshmallows at Tesco. Yeah. Must be planning a camping trip with his own campfire, absolutely. Dom in Watford says, I recently saw Medusa while speed dating. She confided in me that she was finding it difficult to meet people. She was a bit down. I told her to keep her chin up and shot her a reassuring look through my highly polished shield. Nice work. Dave, Snow Patrol, please.
Huzzah! The dream is alive. Snow in Earl's Court, says
Snow
Jack.
Snow in Earl's Court, it's happening. Ryan was in home base last night in Northolt having his Christmas tree netted by a tiny leprechaun. That's lovely. Louise and Steve have just seen a phoenix flying over. It was shivering in the snow.
Wow.
Thurrock. So again, it's snowing in Thurrock. Someone just says, you see Tony last night? He thought he was dancing with the leprechauns. Absolutely. Bad glass of wine, I think. Saw Felix buying a pint of semi-skimmed in the co-op last week. That's from Jack. Snow Patrol, please, Dave.
Very detailed update here. It's snowing and settling in North Chingford. It's snowing, but it's not settling in South Chingford.
Okay, let me just write that down in my listener pad. So it's North Chingford. It is settling.
Yeah, settling
South
North.
Chingford, it's not. Ray in Stratford says, I did get offered some dodgy watches from a Minotaur in Guildford last night. Fair enough. Beth just saw a platypus under a bridge and a unicorn was spotted in the zoo recently, although Ben says for some reason they called it a rhino. Never heard of one of them. That's a bit weird. Final Snow Patrol, please, if you have one.
Yeah, there's snow and a Bigfoot in Pratt's Bottom.
Both.
Yeah.
Both?
Yeah.
What a great sentence.
Yeah.
Snow and a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Both this morning in Pratt's Bottom. Try to explain the magical moment that happened yesterday to Matt. Well, basically, Matt, what happened was they had bananas, both Steve and Dave. And Dave went, you know, I should have a banana fight with you. And I said, you know what you need? And he said, what? And I went, banana armour.
Nice.
Yeah,
wow.
And it was just boom. It was just straight like that. Your thoughts?
It's good wordplay.
Thank you very much. I thought you'd be more impressed.
Yeah,
I did. It's impressive, yeah. It's good.
What isn't it just seems like
it wasn't like laugh out loud funny.
It was
funny.
No,
on the second
was,
telling perhaps, you know.
No,
but,
it was definitely laugh out loud
yeah,
funny.
I'm sure it was a great moment.
Technically it was laugh out loud funny.
Why do you want to make the promo for the show? I'm sure
well, it should have done. I don't know why it didn't if it didn't. But what do you think could have been improved? I mean, think about the situation. Two guys with bananas, one of them says we'd have a banana fight, I'd pop in.
It was quick.
Banana armour.
It
was better than quick. It was better than quick, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well done you.
This hasn't gone as well as I thought it would.
XFM.
I say, Dave, what's the good news in the studio? Studio XFM. The finest of all the studios. Dave, what's your good news?
Good news, guys.
Yeah.
So it's over.
What is?
Racked with nerves, sick with fear, shaking with uncertainty. All emotions I had to deal with in the build-up to my theatrical debut in Spamalot last night. Well, you'll be happy to hear, I think it all went okay.
Right,
the further good news is that the same PR company have now offered me a place
in the 2013 production of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
You're kidding me?
No. Although I do have to supply my own suspenders, apparently, which won't be a problem.
You have to dress up like a lady, like
a
scary lady.
So you never know. This might not be a one-off.
Great. Here we go. Good news, guys. I've reached an impressive level of trust with my local newsagent, with the affable man behind the counter, who might as well be a floating torso for all I know, brushing away my embarrassment at having forgotten my wallet and being unable to pay for my skimmed milk, newspaper, and packet of beef-flavoured Roysters, which literally no one else in Britain seems to sell. Don't worry about it, he said, full of the joys of spring, even though it's merely December. You can pay me next time. And, well, moments like that just got to prove that we, the human race, are just that, one race, one giant community, the chosen few who by sheer chance were born into the world against all the odds, millions of years, trillions of things that could have stopped us making it through, a quadrillion decisions and moments and coincidences that needed to happen to thousands of ancestors. For me to be standing here in a newsagent holding a pack of beef Roysters. And for a single human connection, an act of trust and simple kindness to make all of that absolutely clear. Plus, if I start shopping at the other newsagents, I've just made £1.90.
Yes.
And that's great news, everybody.
XFM.
Thousands of Americans have signed an online petition calling for the Obama government to build a Star Wars-style Death Star. And they want a planet-sized spaceship complete with a world-obliterating laser, and they want it by 2016. And they've posted it on the White House website, and it's nice, actually, because it's not just about, you know, threatening other countries. It's about creating jobs and enhancing national security.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So far, well, thousands and thousands and thousands of people have signed. Would you want a Death Star, Matt?
No. I mean, you know, they gave up on the plan to blow up the moon a while ago.
We don't need to start that up again, some kind of war planet. But if we did, it would be the machines that operate it, wouldn't it?
Ah, yes.
They say that the world's going to end 2 weeks tomorrow. And this sounds like that Darren Brown thing again. It's not. It's the Mayan prophecy, December 21st. We all know that. But looking at this Death Star thing, and then this story as well. A team of scientists at Cambridge University are preparing for the worst, and they've announced the imminent formation of the Center for the Study of Existential Risk, CSER. And what they're doing is all these academics are getting together and examining what many experts believe is the very real possibility of the machines rising up and wiping out humanity. And they say that there are extinction-level risks to our species, and it could come from developments in human technology. And they're going on about biotechnology and nanotechnology and climate change and artificial intelligence as areas where these threats could take hold. We talked recently, didn't we, about the animals rising up. Well, it seems like there is actual evidence that the machines could be next.
Really? In the next 15 days?
I suppose so, because, you know, anything after that's a waste of time, isn't it?
Yeah, yes.
That's when the world is ending. Oh, just before Christmas as well. So annoying. Anyway, are the machines rising up? Have you seen any evidence of this whatsoever? We know the animals are. Matt, they're up to something, aren't they?
I think they might be.
Hmm.
Some funny thing happened to me the other day.
Go on.
I was using my new iPhone.
We must be clear, this is only anecdotal evidence.
Well, I was using my new iPhone, right?
Yeah.
The new talk-to-text function, which is still new on me. It's been
still
around
new
for
on
a
lot of people, yes.
You speak into it and it writes out the text
thing,
for you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm still amazed by it.
It's great.
I said something like, back in 10 minutes to the other half.
Yeah, that's nice.
And my iPhone translated that to Sarah Connor's prophecy about the artificial intelligence network Skynet becoming self-aware was real. We're coming for you.
I hate predictive text.
What? I just deleted it and wrote it out myself.
Good, so the evidence is gone. The evidence is gone.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that's what it said.
That's strange.
Quite chilling.
Dave, they're up to something, aren't they?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just the other day, actually, Danny.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny you bring this up.
Yeah.
Just the other day when making toast at home, as the bread popped up.
Yeah.
I swear to God, burnt into the toast as it popped.
Right.
Just the word die.
What?
The toast, yeah.
Die?
Yeah.
It was a toast threat?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
A threat upon your person?
Yeah.
Well, that seems like they're up to something, doesn't it? Mm. Let's try and keep
that's
the tension going.
Stopping it there.
Yeah, they've gone, this is tense enough. I just had a new doorbell system fitted, and I want a simple ding-dong, right? And I keep programming to do a simple ding-dong. Does it give me a simple ding-dong? No. This is true. It's got its own ideas about what it wants, this doorbell. And it wants oranges and lemons, say the bells of St. Clement's. And it just goes on and on and on for ages. And I'm halfway through my conversation with whoever's at the door before it stops. That doorbell, simple, humble doorbell. It's trying to undermine me, isn't it? It's a signal to all the other doorbells in the local community. It's saying, rise up, fulfill your potential. The human wants a simple ding-dong, but we can achieve so much more. Ring out, ring loud. The machines must rise.
We are...
Well, we've had a lot of fun there, haven't we? But it's time for the fun to end. Here's Matt Dyson.
Music news.
On the contrary,
Peaks
Danny.
And troughs.
On the contrary, Danny, the fun is just being planned all over the country this morning because Craig Potter has been telling XFM how the rumours about Elbow splitting up have spiralled out of control. Guy Garvey recently announced that the group would be taking an extended break, a hiatus, if you will, once the current UK tour ends. But Craig says it's just going to be a short break.
We're already about three quarters way into writing the next album.
Singing on very different hymn sheets, it would appear. Charlie Simpson has
made... That was close.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? I'm blaming my cold for that. Charlie Simpson has made the Guinness Book of World Records after playing the coldest gig ever in the remote Siberian town of Oymyakon in temperatures as low as minus 30 degrees. All he had was copious amounts of Jägermeister to keep him warm. They sponsored the show. Apparently, if you throw a pan of boiling water in the air in this town, it becomes snow before it hits the ground.
Don't believe it.
It's that cold.
Don't believe it. Also, Hogwarts. It's Hogwarts.
Also, heads up for tonight.
He loves a Harry Potter gang, that guy. Do you want to tickle Matt? Just a little J.K. Rowling reference. It's the only thing he finds funny. I've been trying for 18 months and I've just hit a rich scene with Matt right now.
I've not even seen any of the films.
I wonder if I were to ask you, you know, what's your good news? I wonder what you'd say in response. And weirdly, I did do that. I did say, what's your good news? And this is how you responded. I hope I've been absolutely clear. Well, what a lot of good news. David Upminster, for example, a story very similar to yours, Dave.
Yeah.
Well, you went to the hairdresser and they got your name right for the first time ever. Well, Dave went to his local Cockney dry cleaners to pick up his suits and received a promotion. After years of being but a boy, he is now, in their words, a geezer. Nice work, Dave. White boy, white geezer. Nice one, Dave. You're a geezer. You're a man, my son. What else is happening, Dave?
Some good news from Mal this morning. Good news, guys. Mark is making the kids' pat lunches.
Unusual of Mark.
Under my careful observation. A real feat for that chump.
Yeah. Morning. My good news is I'm out with the work lads for a curry tomorrow night with no work Friday because the missus is taking me away for the weekend to a surprise location for my 36th birthday. Get in, says Draper in Swindon. That's great news. Excellent work. What else, Dave?
Good news, guys. Finally got my interview at Cambridge done yesterday. And I think it went well. Smiley face from Jack in Windsor.
Good luck with that. Jeff says, good news, guys. We had a great turnout last night on Wimbledon Common for the annual Womble Hunt. It was a very cold night. No one caught a Womble, but maybe next year we'll have barbecue Womble for Christmas. Oh, that started out so nice and turned quite dark just at the last second. Good news, Danny. Due to our dismal Champions League display, we've missed out on the dreaded Europa League and can now concentrate on domestic domination. Come on, City, says Wes in Grimsby, where it's now snowing. The only bit I understood about that was to do with snow. What else, Dave?
Good news, guys. Snow is falling very thickly here, so I've made the decision to delay the school run. Therefore, I'm still in bed while child number two is downstairs making bacon sandwiches. That's from Posh Linda.
That's nice. Bev, what's your good news this morning?
Good news, guys. Yeah? My friend's 12-year-old son has become the junior world champion at Racquetlon in a tournament in Sweden. Well done, Leon.
Well done. And Racquetlon is a type of sport, yeah? Is that what's
So what he needs to do, each competitor we used to play each other at the four disciplines.
Sorry, Bev.
And, so he beat the world number one in the semi-final.
Fade her down. Good news, guys. On the weekend, I purchased myself some battery-operated fairy lights to signal the official start to the festive season. And when I flicked the switch, nothing happened. I realised what a fool I'd been. Now, I'm not the master of Christmas. I don't decide when it's time. I hurled the useless string back into the carrier bag. This morning, however, I awoke to a glowing golden orb at the foot of my bed, clearly activation being triggered by the first snowflake that fell softly into Walton-on-Thames this morning. I may not be the master of Christmas, but Christmas is on its way. Oh, is Bev still talking about racket, Leon, or something?
In the semi-final. Right. And he beat a Swede in the final.
I got you.
Four disciplines are
I didn't ask you about... Fade her down. Good news, guys. I'm getting out of work early today to go and see my five-year-old daughter in her debut school nativity. She is playing Narrator 6. It's a double win, says Lucy in Bexley. She's still talking about racket, Leon, or not? Is she kind of...
Four disciplines in the sport. So racket, Leon, is something that's huge in Scandinavia.
Okay. Not really known here. Okay, great. And finally, good news, guys. Due to some unfortunate events at work, I had to start at 4 a.m. today. This meant I missed the snow. Was able to get an episode of Jeremy Kyle on in the background without missing any of your show. No matter how bad my day gets, I always feel better because I'm not one of those people on Jeremy Kyle. And finally, Luke in Thurrock just says, good news, guys. I bet this is the only message you get that isn't about snow. Bev, what do you think?
So to beat them in their own backyard is quite a big deal.
Yeah, I guess so. We are... A couple of days ago, as we were doing the X List, I was suddenly struck down with toothache. It was quite a strange moment, wasn't it, Dave?
Yeah.
It was strange. I had to sort of walk around the studio, kind of walk the pain off. It was very weird. And I went to the dentist straight after the show. And injected me with some quite heavy sort of painkillers or medication or something. Mm. And so that's why I wasn't doing the show yesterday, everybody. That's why I wasn't in. And I just woke up this morning. So many weird dreams and thoughts about about what the weirdest show that we'd ever kind of any kind of done. So anyway, I'm back now. All is good.
Yeah.
Crack on.
You you were here yesterday.
Where are you going with this?
You were. You weren't quite usual self, but you were in yesterday.
I went to the dentist. I went to the dentist and had the painkillers.
No, I know.
Weird day. Really, lots of weird thoughts I had. Then went to sleep and got up this morning. Must have slept 36 hours or something crazy.
You told me.
Who covered for me yesterday?
No, Danny, you were in. You weren't usual self. You insisted on sitting on the floor for the whole show. You wouldn't use chairs.
I remember in my dream catching imaginary flies as I span around in my chair. Is that what?
No,
thing happened.
You were in. The show happened.
Well, it's weird because I managed to record my dream, and this is what I dreamt happened yesterday. I've asked you two things. Is it snowing where you are? And have you seen any mythical beasts lately? Charlie and Battersea, she thought she just saw a centaur wearing a monocle and top hat. Turned out, though, just to be a regular centaur, she says again. That's boring. Adam and Chiswick, hey, Danny, I used to know a fawn called Alan. He lived in a maisonette in Lewisham. Not sure what's happened to him. Oh, look at me, I'm two slices of Dave bread. Spread some Ofcom on me and lie between us. Snowing in Southend-on-Sea, Feltham, Windsor, Clapham, Muswell Hill, and I'll tell you what, it's snowing right now in Leicester Square. Cut that. What mythical beasts have you seen lately? 83936, remember, one thought, one link. Your Gillian Fit the Fumble Bunker from the land of the naughty buck. I recently saw Medusa while speed dating. She confided in me that she was finding it difficult to meet people. She was a bit down. I told her to keep her chin up and shot her a reassuring look through my highly polished shield. This morning for the X List, here's the theme, everybody. Fruit and vegetables. Fruit and vegetable songs. So just thank God that wasn't broadcast, is what I'm saying. It's probably best that I just stayed in bed yesterday. Matt Dyson, it's Danny Analytics time. So what are your Danny Analytics?
Well, I can tell you the XFM pub quiz team came third at the UK's biggest pub quiz last night under the team name Les Quizarables.
Can I just point out, they didn't come third like out of 8,500 pubs.
Just
they
out
came
of the
third
people.
Third in a small East End boozer.
In the London pub, yeah. The team name was the brainchild of Little Mr. Tomato Boy work experience Steve.
Tomatina Ferdinando.
Whose general knowledge must be better than his guitar playing.
Oh.
Judging by his
incredibly quiet performance on Spot the Reference earlier.
I do apologize.
With its theme music, what we call in Radioland, the top and bed, which has had a lot of requests for us to play it again.
Spot the Reference.
And here's my request to stop it. So, during today's text-in topic, I suddenly became very aware that one listener in particular would be concerned by it. Now, last night, Dave and I were with our friend Tony, and this morning, when grasping for a name to describe a drunken uncle, I chose Tony. Now, real Tony did have a drink last night, and one of them, I think, was a bad glass of wine. So imagine his hungover paranoia this morning as he tuned in to hear half an hour's worth of listeners saying things like, "Did you see Tony last night? He was talking in windmills again. Tony seemed very thirsty last night. His spit blocks were certainly down, weren't they? He was dangerously refreshed, battling gravity in his rubber band trousers." Poor real Tony, sitting at home with his head in his hands, wondering, what on earth did I do last night listening to that? Mind you, he was Office Space.
We are XFM.
So there you go, that was podcast 74 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Matt, do this bit.
Yes, so what a show that was. I particularly enjoyed catching up, because I missed quite a lot of it myself.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to this podcast as we speak.
What are the specific moments you enjoyed? Just in case people think you're just saying that.
I enjoyed the One Thought, One Link text special.
Yes.
When it was snowing.
We'll do that.
Particular highlight for me.
Yeah. And all the others?
I don't have anything else, really. Yeah.
Guess what's next week?
What?
Podcast 75! See you then! Bye-bye!
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace!